for listening. I hope you enjoyed our rendition of the Babadook.
Babadook. But we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Premier Francois Legault said this week that the nearly four-week-long abortion waiting periods occurring in many Quebec regions are unacceptable and that his government is working to fix this. In Quebec City, a 2 to 3 week-long waiting period is required before patients even set a date for surgery. These waiting times have created an influx of people traveling to Montreal to receive same-day abortion services. Legault did not give a time when he thought changes may be made, saying, quote, "What's missing is organization. I couldn't tell you it will all be fixed in a year," end quote. Ontario Premier Doug Ford is heading back to work after taking leave during the federal election. The Ontario legislature has changed since being adjourned following Ford's cabinet reshuffling and the resignation of Chief of Staff Dean French amid accusations of nepotism. School strikes, alcohol sales, and healthcare reforms are expected to color the coming months in session. The European Union has extended the Brexit deadline to January 31st. It's a 3-month extension of the Halloween deadline just days away. Britain will have the opportunity to strike an exit deal before that deadline should it choose to do so. To hear the news or learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
Talento, fortuna, esperienza. Impegno, costanza, coerenza. Tra genio e follia c'è poca differenza. Hanno lo stesso punto di partenza.
Ma se sei solo e ti perdi e non va come vorresti tu, non c'è un navigatore né un tutorial su YouTube. È bello se ti riconoscono, è bello se vai in TV, ma è meno bello quando sei tu che non ti riconosci più.
Belotti, gonna get away from Cepitelli. The cross comes in, Sanchez there. The equalizer for Torino.
Vogliono bene, ti fanno la ola, ti cantano un coro. La vittoria è una cosa di squadra, ma se perdi, perdi da solo. Per ogni ballerina che ha male i piedi e si medica, per ogni calciatore che risparmia per le scarpe nuove, ogni studente che non mangia si dimentica, o musicista che anche da stanco va in sala prove. Per ogni sportivo.
Alexandro, oh, it's a terrific drive, parried away, and hit in the rebound. Juve, they turned it all around. Second.
Il tuo sudore, la tua occasione, che fai, la butti?
È nulla è impossibile se credi quello che fai.
Se credi quello che fai.
È chi ci crede, è chi è che ha fede, è chi riesce a vincere anche senza te. Nulla è impossibile se credi quello che fai.
Se credi quello che fai.
È chi ci crede, è chi è che ha fede, è
il mondo cambia in fretta.
Quickly onto the possibilities here, and look at Jovinho to his left. Jovinho! Surely not again. Surely Inter aren't gonna succumb to Parma here again.
Chi ci metti la faccia? Chi dice che non ce la fai lo fa perché lui non ce l'ha fatta. Vorrebbero che pure te facessi come hanno fatto loro, ma se non lavori il tuo sogno non sarà mai il tuo lavoro. Per quella ballerina che adesso balla in teatro, il calciatore che ora gioca nella sua squadra del cuore. Per ogni studente che ancora non ha mollato e trova la forza nelle parole di quella canzone. Ce n'è un milione che non abbandona e tenta ancora, che si convince che questo.
DiNardo, Di Giovanni, this is the Calcio Guys on CJLO 6090, Montreal's underground radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus at Concordia University.
Yes, sir.
It's Halloween. Halloween is meant for goblins, ghouls, and anything spooky. And in the city, this past weekend, we had some results that surprised us, some of them that scared us.
Yeah, some spooky scenes.
Lecce Juventus 1-1. Spal Napoli 1-1. Inter Parma 2-2. Adriano, so we don't have Gianni today, and we're going to talk about Napoli later with Frank Cavallaro at 2:45.
Yeah.
From Club Napoli Canada Montreal. So out of those results, which one was the scariest?
Well, listen, I think this past weekend in Serie A, it was probably one of the most odd match days rounds so far in the season. Again, still early, but we haven't seen results like this yet. I think the first real slip up for Juventus this week, obviously, as you said, tying Lecce 1-1, a game that was all over the place, I found. Again, there, and then they played the first game, and then, you know, you have Inter playing Parma at home, thinking that maybe they'll take advantage of that, and what do we see? Another 2-2 draw. And then lastly, Napoli, hopefully trying to maybe pull out some sort of result in their game. And again, another draw over there. So, I mean, it was spooky scenes this weekend in Serie A. I would probably say, I don't know, the one that I guess it's not really scary in terms of, I think, you know, they're a good enough team to obviously rebound from this. But, the Juve game surprised me the most, I would say. Especially against a team like Lecce. I mean, my Milan drew against them last week, but you compare Milan and Juve, it's like night and day. So I would have expected a bigger result out of Juve. I think we even said it last week, it'd be a miracle if Lecce can come out of here out of that game with a point. And you know what, they sure did. So for me, the most surprising one was that one, just because you don't expect things like that. You know, Parma, a team that's been now in Serie A over a year now, and they give some teams some trouble. So, and then Spal too. I think they're another team that gives some bigger teams a bit of a fight. And so, yeah, they did that to Napoli. But I think the most, as I said, the most crazy one would probably be Lecce Juve.
I think for the team that has to worry the most, based on the way they played, was Napoli in the 1-1 draw against Spal. You know, Juventus, they didn't play horrible against Lecce.
Well, they didn't play great.
Obviously, they didn't play great. That's why they didn't win. But Lecce played, it was Lecce that played well and stood up to them. They played a physical brand of football. And, you know, I watched that game, obviously, and you can't be overly disappointed with the way Juventus played. And then Inter 2-2 against Parma. You know, Parma's not a terrible team. Obviously, for Inter, they have to be disappointed. But I think Napoli's draw against Spal, especially considering Napoli has quite a few points to climb to reach the top. They're 6 points behind Juventus, 5 behind Inter. And a win would have given them 2 extra points in the table, and they would have been only 4 points behind Juventus. So I think for them, it's worrisome. They really lost ground. You know, Inter, sure, they could have jumped past Juventus, but it's not like they dropped any more. Meanwhile, Napoli is still a significant 6 points behind. And then there's Atalanta, too. 7-1.
Yeah.
I think you have to worry for Udinese's defense.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the teams that we named, the big dogs kind of dropping points, I think the one team that, you know, emerged this weekend in the Serie A was definitely Atalanta. They're now in, I believe, third place. 2 points behind Inter, 3 points behind Juve, and 3 points ahead of Napoli. So they definitely made strides this weekend in Serie A, 7 past Udinese's shaky defense. You know, albeit there were 10 men in that game for Udinese, but still, I mean, Atalanta came out to play. They got a beating in Champions League, and now they returned the favor in Serie A and gave Udinese a beating. So I think that, you know, you tip off your hat to Gasperini and, you know, just the team in general from bouncing back from, you know, a big loss there in Manchester in the Champions League and not doing too well, coming to Serie A and you know what, proving that they have no fear, and no matter who, you know, who they're going to face, you know, they're going to give it their all. So I think that's what you saw over the weekend. And, you know, it's crazy to say, but I think they have, I don't know the whole stat, but I'm pretty sure they have probably, I think, the most goals scored in Serie A so far this season. So, I mean, that's just kudos to Gasperini, his system, and, you know, the players really buying into to the system that he puts in play.
Ilicic, and Gomez, and Muriel, and it's number four inside 2 minutes of the second period. Atalanta, their scintillating best. Really, really nice football.
So, Atalanta has 28 goals scored in 9 games.
Yeah.
And the next closest team has 20 goals scored, and that's Inter Milan.
Yeah, so eight goals ahead of them.
Without looking at the standings, can you tell me who's number three?
In the league?
Yeah.
Mats Atalanta.
No. In goal scoring.
Oh, in goal scoring. I would say, I don't know, Juve or Napoli.
Napoli. And then Lazio, actually.
Lazio, okay.
Yeah, so it's two teams that are tied at three. And then on the other end of the spectrum, Genoa, 21 goals against, worst defense in the league. But new coach, Thiago Motta, coming in, 3 subs, 3 goals. And, you know, we talk about coaches coming up with tactics and changing the game in that way. But we never talk about coaches coming in with the key substitutions at the key times. At least we don't do that too much on this show. Especially a new coach coming in. He couldn't really change much of the tactics from Andrea Zoli. And he brought in Kwame, Pandev, and I forget the other player. Scored his first goal.
Agudelo.
There you go.
Agudelo.
That's 3 players. And general management has to be happy with their new coach after 1 game.
Yeah, I think so. As you said, it's 1 game, so it's still early to judge on Thiago Motta there. But, you know, personally, before this move, I wasn't maybe a fan of getting rid of Andrea Zoli. I think he's a pretty good coach. Bringing in Thiago Motta, that doesn't have much experience on one of the bigger leagues in the world, you would think he would struggle. You know, fine, okay, it's against Brescia, you know what, the team that just came into Serie A. But I think, it takes a lot for his players so quickly to buy into whatever he was putting there in training. So, I mean, Thiago Motta, you know, hats off to him. I think, as you said, the subs were obviously the key point in that game. All guys that, well, besides Agudelo that we don't really know too much about, but Kwame, you know, a young star. I think he's a really good player. He can come on at any time and you know, turn the game on its head. Pandev, a seasoned veteran that, you know, he's been around the block and, you know, he's been scoring goals pretty much everywhere he's been. So, I guess kudos to Motta for putting those players in at the time that he did. It's good. It's exciting scenes, I guess, for Genoa. I think this is only this is a step in the right direction if they want to, you know, get out of relegation battles and stuff like that. But I think we can make a better judgment once, you know, they play a couple more games under Motta, see how his real tactics come out to play, and see how the players, as I said, buy into his system.
Okay, I actually wanted to go back to Atalanta. So they're 3 points behind Juventus right now. They still have to play Juventus. They're 2 points behind Inter. They still have to play Inter. They play Napoli tomorrow in the rare midweek games.
Yeah.
And I know it's early in the season, and there's still 29 games left, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, quick math.
If my math is correct. There's still 29 games left. Do you think, at least right now, you could keep them in the conversation, or the they could even join in on the conversation for title contention?
That's a tough question to ask. I think, you know, it's been really circulating around social media lately as just the way Atalanta's been playing. Just for the sake of, you know, the excitement of the league and, you know, Serie A is so unpredictable, I'm going to say yeah. You know, they had a Cinderella season last year. Getting into Champions League was, you know, the first for them. So if they continue on the path that they're playing on and, you know, they're getting these results and they're in the position that they're in right now, and they don't even have their leading goal scorer from last year these past couple of games in Zapata. So I think for me personally, I was thinking about it, and it's like it's amazing to see that, you know, other players are stepping up, you know, and they're not really Zapata dependent, whereas I find other teams, you know, you lose a player and, you know, they're dependent on that one player, and results don't come. And in my head, where you can see it clearly this year is Sampdoria with Quagliarella. Last season, you know, he was totally on form, scoring all kinds of goals. Now this year, a bit of a mess there at Samp. He's not scoring as like he used to be, and all of a sudden, you know what, they're last in the table. So I think, you know, good teams can rally with the players, other players that they have, the supporting cast, and it's not only about one player. So for those reasons, I'm going to say yes, put Atalanta in the contention. Do they win the Scudetto? That's a different story. We're only 9 games in, but as I said before, the Serie A is definitely unpredictable, and I can definitely see them, you know, giving the big teams a run for the money.
So a lot of people on social media were actually saying they could be Italy's Leicester. But to put it in perspective,
yeah,
Atalanta finished fourth last year.
Yeah,
Leicester City, before they won the title in 2015-2016, they finished 14th in the Premier League. So are they going to be Leicester? You can't compare them with Leicester, because Leicester was a completely different story, a complete miracle.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue talking about Serie A match day 9. And our MVPs and yellow card, red card of the week coming up next on the Calcio Guys on CJO 6090.
Don't miss psych rock jazz band Crumb live at L'Astral November 2nd with special guests Divino Nino and Shormi. Get your tickets now on Evenko.ca.
Dust off your boots, pour some sweet tea, and tune in to the freshest of folk, roots, acoustic, and more, along with some favorites from the past. The best of old and new meet together in The Alley, every Wednesday at 4 p.m., only on CJLO 1690 AM.
You are listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Given away, straight to Dzeko, not the one to give it away to. Here is some space for Zaniolo, who takes advantage of the gift. Zaniolo with the goal.
Wasn't Zaniolo, it was Zaniolo. That happens sometimes when you're a commentator and there's such a fast play going. And you're never going to hear me praise a commentator like that. Usually I'm the one on the opposite side.
Yeah.
If you remember the time I wasn't happy with a Rugani.
Yeah.
I still laugh about
you
that.
You still get nightmares, huh?
Pardon?
You still get some nightmares about that, huh?
I do. Mainly because... Like, that commentator said it over and over. This commentator was just, it's just a mistake in the moment.
He corrected himself the second time.
He knows it's Zaniolo, not Zanioli. But what I wanted to get at, Roma-Milan. Milan loses to an injury-depleted Roma team.
Yeah.
You can't be happy. I've seen, you know what, on Twitter, on my personal Twitter, I see a lot more Milan stuff than I should for a Juve fan. I think I see more Milan stuff, mainly because it's you liking it. And you know on Twitter...
you see that
you see what your followers and following have liked, so I see a lot of Milan hate, and it's a frustrated fan group right now.
I don't think any Milan fan is happy the way this team's playing to start the season. You know, it's been a terrible ride, and you know, it pisses fans off even more when you know you give other teams that are ahead of you and obviously in the race for, you know, some sort of positivity in this season, you give them, you know, early Christmas gifts. And I think that's the perfect way to sum up this Roma-Milan game. 2-1 was the final result. But, I mean, there was no nothing from Milan. I didn't see any positivity or positive signs besides, I'm going to have to give a little chapeau there to Theo Hernandez. I think he's been probably Milan's best player. Alongside Donnarumma so far this season. But, you know, when you leave Dzeko in the box wide open for an easy header, the guy who's probably scored the most headers so far this season, you know, unmarked in the box like that, there's nothing Donnarumma can do. That's a total gift. And, you know, obviously the Zaniolo goal, another flurry of bad events there. Calabria with a giveaway, and then obviously it bounces off Musacchio, I think it was, and goes straight to Zaniolo on his left foot and puts it past Donnarumma. So, you know, I don't think Milan really... I don't know. I'm pissed off because I think they could have gotten a result, and if it wasn't for them giving the game to Roma, I think it could have been a different, you know, different result at the end. Would they have won the game? I don't know, like anything could have happened, but I mean, they would have taken the tie, obviously. So the frustration comes mainly because they're just giving you know, teams the game. And last week with Lecce, gave Calderoni that shot that he'll never make again in his career to tie the game. And this week, another you know, early Christmas gift for Roma. So yeah, I'm totally pissed off because of that, and just, you know, their lackluster play.
I'll be honest, Adrian, I don't know why you're using Christmas as a metaphor when Halloween is a few days away and you had the perfect opportunity to say it's Halloween in a few days and they're already giving out treats.
Ah, screw that. I don't know. I mean, Halloween, Christmas, whatever you want. Whatever it is, Milan's giving it. They're giving it to the less fortunate. Whatever
they're,
you want to
they're
say.
They're a charity. Yeah, good for them. They're charity, a
charity. Charity case, unfortunately.
You see, Southampton, by the way, they lost 9-0. 9-0
yeah.
To Leicester on Friday. And after the game, all players and staff actually donated their earnings from the game to charities in Southampton for the less fortunate. Sorry,
rightfully so. And yeah. But you put like that, you should give away everything.
Anyways, back to the Serie A. The other Roman team, Lazio, 2-1 over Fiorentina. Ciro Immobile scores at the 89th minute. It's been a long time since Immobile scored one of those open play, not a penalty goals, late in the game to win his team a game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people like to say that, you know, on the PK, you know, it's not really a goal, but I mean, listen, the ball goes in the back of the net, it counts for a goal.
And there's still a ton of pressure.
You know, those are not easy things to you know, convert. So, you know, penalty spot, open play. I think Immobile for Lazio, we'll say for Lazio because with Italy it's a different story. For Lazio, I think, you know, he really comes out to play, and, you know, sometimes more than others, you know, Lazio fans might say otherwise. Sometimes he's not always there, but I think more times than not, I think he's able to contribute. And, you know, I think he's contributed, I think, the most or one of the most goals and assists so far this season among the Serie A. So, I mean, he's always involved. He's their guy up top. I mean, you know, tough on Fiorentina, you know, the way that went. And obviously, there was a bit of controversy or Fiorentina fans and players not really liking, you know, how the game ended there. And we also posted about the Ribery incident at the end of the game. So yeah, I think a little bit, you know, fans and players of Fiorentina a little pissed off, but, you know, Lazio's definitely got to be happy with this result. You know, they're in sixth place right now, and I think you know, if they get results like this against good teams, they can go far.
So Immobile, 10 goals in 9 games, only 3 from the spot, so he leads the league not only in goals,
yeah,
but also in goals from open play. And so Lazio moves 2 points closer to Napoli because of the win. So they're only 2 points behind Napoli, actually. Lazio sits in sixth. Cagliari, they had an opportunity to tie Napoli in points, actually, and they tied Torino, so they're at 15 points. They weren't happy with that result. They would have liked to remain in pretty much the top four, right? But that's why they're not considered the top teams in Italy, and that's why we talk about the final standings after 38 games, not after 9 games. Parma, Verona is being played right now, by the way. 1-0 Verona.
Oh, wow.
We go into the midweek matches, the rare midweek matches, as we said before. Darko Lazovic scored in the 10th minute.
Yeah.
So last week, there was also Champions League, Juventus 2-1 over Lokomotiv, Napoli 3-2 over Salzburg. We're going to ask Frank Cavallaro about that in about 20 minutes' time. But for me, I think the most important win was Inter 2-0 over Dortmund.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it was, for Inter's sake, I think it was obviously a must win, seeing how they are in their group and, you know, their tough group in Champions League, I think. You know, obviously with Barcelona in there too, and Dortmund, another, you know, no walkover team, I would say. I think, you know, the results, you know, that result in that game definitely was big. They're tied on points now with Dortmund. Obviously, they have to play them again, so that'll be another crucial test. But it's them not shooting themselves in the foot with obviously in that Dortmund game, and then obviously with the Slavia Prague game as well. If they can avoid, you know, shooting themselves in the foot, and you know, Conte's magic can continue with Inter, I think this team obviously can get out of the group. The Barcelona game, I mean, that could be a toss up. I think, you know, they lost, I think it was, what, 2-0, if I remember correctly?
2-1.
2-1?
2-1.
Was it? Okay, whatever it was, they lost there because of Suarez, their two goals, I believe. So that's a toss-up game. I think they can also give it to Barcelona. But as you said, definitely the most important result out of all the Italian teams in Champions League, for that matter, was definitely Inter.
So Juventus and Napoli each remain on top of their groups with 7 points, and they're both undefeated. And so back to the Serie A. Let's go yellow card, red card first, and then we'll take a short break, and then we'll do MVP of the week before we talk to Frank Cavallaro of Club Napoli Canada, Montreal, about Napoli, about Dries Mertens. And
about this beautiful weather we got here today in Montreal.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And, okay, so yellow card, red card. I'm going to, you know what, I'll start it off.
Go for it.
I'll start it off. You're going to laugh at this one. so I'm watching the Lecce-Juventus game, and I hear this.
Rather disingenuous there, the thoughts of Alexandro, asking if there's only one match ball available. Not all of the clubs in the top flight, particularly those that have scaled the various levels of the pyramid in double quick time like Lecce, have the same resources and facilities as Juventus.
Come on, they don't have the same facility. It's a ball. Go to, well, I don't know what they have over there in Italy, in Lecce.
The store.
The corner store. They just pump up a couple more balls and bring them to the pitch. It's not that hard. Come on. Don't have the facilities? I'm a bit disappointed on that. Is that a red card or yellow card from you?
That's going to be the yellow card.
Okay.
But no, what I was going to say, it should be the city app providing the match equipment. It shouldn't be up to the teams. Because we know that there's teams with not as much resources.
Of course, yeah.
A.K.A. Lecce, who apparently can't afford balls. Fair enough, these balls probably cost $300 to $500 each. And then you have to get the resources to get ball boys and stuff, but ball boys aren't paid because they're little kids, or usually the owner's son, A.K.A. a la Chelsea. Yeah. And
I'll go ball boy for them if they want, Christ.
Yeah, me too. I'll be the sole ball boy. I'll throw two balls on the pitch, I'll run around the whole game getting the other ball.
Yeah, seriously.
But it's embarrassing for the state of the league, in my opinion, playing with only one ball. What happened if that ball popped? What happened if that ball went into the crowd? I understand the crowd at the Stadio Via del Mare isn't exactly next to the pitch like it is at other stadiums.
Yeah,
they're about 20 miles from the pitch like it is in Rome and
Naples.
And, you know, what happens if the ball goes into the crowd and some guy named Giuseppe decides, yeah, I'm going to take the ball home with me today. Yeah. But they have no ball.
Yeah, they're going to have to play with a rock.
You have a team who just played in the Champions League. They're playing with one ball. And what happens if it got deflated? I already said that. What happens if Bill Belichick comes around and, and decides he's going to deflate them himself?
This guy.
So it's embarrassing for the state of the league. And I think it should be the Serie A maintaining the balls. Also because teams could control the pressure of the ball, the weight of the ball. They can manipulate the ball to their advantage too. So that's a yellow card for me.
This is definitely going to be another yellow.
Adriano?
Yeah, so I'm going to go get my yellow card of the week as well. I'm going to stick with the Lecce-Juve game as well. I'm going to give nothing too crazy about. Obviously, you know, the result, a little bit of a punch to the gut, but nothing too serious. I'm going to give it to Sarri, just his decision on keeping Ronaldo home. I don't know. I don't really understand that. You know, you're the best player in the world. You need a break. You need a rest. I mean, I don't know. You're playing Lecce. Even if you do come on for the second half, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, I think you can definitely do it. I see your physique on social media. It's second to none. I don't know. Saudi's decision to keep him home. I mean, if they would have had him on the bench, I think maybe he could have came on and maybe made an impact and maybe got all 3 points for Juve. But yeah, nothing too serious. Just something that, I don't know, got me thinking. And, you know, I think Ronaldo should have been on the bench, and Sadi should have definitely kept him on the bench rather than at home. So a small yellow card for me.
And he now sees a flash of yellow before his eyes.
So red for card? Me, for red card, it's a pretty obvious one. Roma, Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
Exactly. It's the embarrassment of the UEFA Europa League. There's not much.
And you know what?
Criticize.
And you know what I put on today? I didn't even know you were gonna do this, but look at the shirt I put on today.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say that on.
I'm gonna say it. Can I say it?
Probably.
The Vardfankulo shirt. Yeah, from IFTV. The great guys there, IFTV. I'm wearing that shirt. I didn't even know this guy was gonna take that incident, but definitely craziness in that game.
As we saw, ball hits Chris Smalling in the head.
Straight
it's a
in
header.
Straight in the face.
It's a header.
Yeah.
and it's awarded a penalty in the 94th minute
for handball
in a European game. There's not much. I mean, the referee screwed up, and the UEFA admitted it to Roma after Roma tweeted out, "Thank you for your honesty. It's a huge mistake." And we know that the Europa League still doesn't have the VAR because they can't put it in all stadiums because some of their stadiums are played at the municipal park in Azerbaijan. And it's just, but it's still deserving of a red card.
It's ridiculous.
It's sad. It's sad to see. And Roma's got to feel gutted. But you know what? I saw some Roma fans online saying they should have taken advantage of some of their chances. I know Florenzi missed a good chance. Still, regardless, that's a red card in my books.
Going to go to the pocket and get out the red. It's a red card.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm still shook about that moment. I don't even know what to say, but yeah, definitely merited the red card, two red cards, record of the year probably, that incident. But for me, I'm going to go week in, week out, I think, with this Milan team, their defense against Roma. As I said earlier, on Dzeko unmarked in the box for the first one, and then the Halloween treat given to Zaniolo. Not Christmas gift, Halloween treat given to Zaniolo, you know, by the Roma, Milan's defense once again for the second goal for Roma. Just, you know, no cohesiveness, no spirit. You would think this team is playing one game a week, and it seems like they can't even wake up for that. So for me, it's sad to see. You know what? I think I'm still obviously, you know, I'll always believe in results to come in the future. But right now, with the way that they're playing and the way that their defense are giving treats of any kind, it's, for me, this week definitely merits a red card.
So that's a red card for Adriano, and we'll take a short break, and after the break, Serie A MVP of the week.
Could be a red card. The red card is out,
and it's no surprise. Absolutely, it's against the rules.
Join us every Tuesday night at midnight on CJLO for Floydian Slip. It's an hour of music by Pink Floyd. It's Craig Bailey, your host for an hour from the dark side of the moon. An hour of Pink Floyd, Floydian Slip, every Tuesday night at midnight, right here on 1690 AM CJLO. Learn more online at floydianslip.com.
This is Matthew O'Hane from CJLO Sports and the Starting Rotation. And I know you probably don't like being told what to do, and neither do I. Now, I'm not saying or telling you to listen to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal, but 46% of people who listen to CJLO report higher life satisfaction and increased sexual activity. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
The Gaucho Guys on CJLO 1690 with Adriano DiNardo. I'm Nicholas DiGiovanni, so today MVP of the week. And so since I took away the cards, Adriano, you take away the MVPs.
Yeah, so for me this week, MVP definitely goes back to the Atalanta Udinese game. Luis Muriel, you got a hat trick in that game. I believe two of them were from the penalty spot, but nonetheless, as we spoke about before, penalty spot, open play, it's a lot of pressure to score in the Serie A. And I think, you know, Muriel, he's been around the block. He's been to all kinds of different teams in different leagues. And the one, I think, constant is that he's able to score. So I think he does feel at home in Italy, in the Serie A, with all the teams that he's played for. And I think, as I said, no matter where he goes, he'll definitely score. And, you know, going back, you know, he's now with Zapata injured. He has to, you know, when Gasperini plays him, he has to lead the line. Papu Gomez, Ilicic, other factors as well in the offense. But Muriel definitely came out to play, in my opinion. And I like him as a player, and I hope he can continue on this path because he definitely deserves maybe some more credit than he gets out there in social media.
And so for me, I'm going to go with Ciro Immobile for the way he played. Well, the way he scored against Fiorentina right at the end, and we talked about him before, how he's really clutch for the Biancocelesti,
yeah,
in the Serie A, and so he deserves the at least my MVP of the week.
Plenty of white shirts forward here. The Lukaku's ball in, there's the header, and Lazio surely won it. Ciro Immobile pops up late on.
He also added an assist on Joaquin Correa's first goal.
Yeah,
and I gotta give a shout out this week for MVP. I was thinking about this player, Paolo Guglielmi. He had an assist on Christian Kwame's goal for Genoa. And it's not necessarily because he's been playing well just this week in their win against Brescia, but he has 4 assists in 8 games this year, one of the top for right backs in all of Europe.
Yeah.
He has more than Andrew Robertson from Liverpool.
Champions League winner Andrew Robertson.
Yeah, Champions League winner.
Just to say.
And he was starting on that team too.
Exactly.
So I think we got to remember about this guy, Paolo Ghiglione, 22 years old, one of the up-and-comers. Hopefully Mancini's going to have a look at him soon because there's not too much depth, I find, at right back position. We've talked about that before. So I'd like to see him maybe get more of a chance. He's played for the U20 team and he still hasn't played actually for the U21 team.
I think slowly, a guy like that, Ghiglione, I think he'll definitely crack the team sooner or later. Another mini shout out for 2 players, Sandro Tonali and Amad Traore, getting their first goals in Serie A. The Traore one is just a remarkable story. 17 years young, born in 2002, and scoring in the Serie A, one of the top leagues in the world. At that age, it's just remarkable to see that, you know, these young kids are getting in there and getting the opportunities, and getting first goal, first game played, first goal for him, and Tonali as well, now in the Serie A, the young midfielder and promising youngster over there at Brescia. So just too many shout-outs to those players as well.
A good week for young players in the Serie A.
Absolutely.
And so Serie A match day 10 is happening right now. It already started.
Hellas Verona is still up 1-0.
It's rare. It's really rare that a new match day starts even before our show starts.
Yeah.
Well, this game started at 2. Our show started at 2, to be fair.
Yeah.
So Parma is hosting Verona. They're still down 1-0. Brescia hosts Inter later today. Mario Balotelli, back of the San Siro.
It's in Brescia. But against his former team. Yeah.
He hasn't had that many opportunities to play against Inter, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he played the one season at Milan, then the half season at Milan. So, I wonder if he... Don't quote me. I don't know if he's ever played against Inter before.
Besides those times?
Besides
when he was at Milan?
Yeah. Well, he played 2 seasons at Milan. So, you don't know if he even played... He could have been on the bench for the derbies.
Off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Don't quote me.
I don't remember either, but...
But anyways, midweek.
Yeah, midweek.
Midweek. Yeah. Quick turnaround, especially for the Champions League teams. Now it's really going to be testing the team's depth. As we've talked about before, Roma, that's going to be their biggest test. Udinese coming off their game on... It was on Sunday, right? Against Milan.
Roma. Yeah.
It was on Sunday. Well, Verona, they had a good break. They played on Friday. They played today. Yeah, Juve 2, they played first thing on Saturday, and then they played tomorrow afternoon. So they have a decent break. But the game of the week has to be Napoli-Atalanta. If they want to stay in title contention, if they really, really want to challenge for a title, I wouldn't say this is a must win. But if they win this, they're right up there.
Yeah, they are, and I think it'll answer this game. If they win, it'll answer the question that we posed before. Are they really worthy of you know that title of contender? I believe so. But you know, if they don't win against Napoli, you know, they still have another time to play them. As you said, they didn't play Juve yet. They have to play them twice, and the other big teams as well. So definitely the game of the week. There obviously are some other good games, but Napoli, Atalanta, so early again in the season at the 10 game mark, it's still early, but a lot of implications on that game. Morale, one team coming on a huge high, Napoli a bit on a low, a disappointing result against Spal last week. So I think it'll be a roller coaster of a game. I think it'll be a lot of goals in that game because these are 2 teams that can definitely score, as we said earlier. I think it's who makes the first mistake, I think. And if the teams can capitalize, yes, they can score. But as we know, Napoli, they can score. They have all the talent in the world, but sometimes they can't convert. And it comes to bite them later on. So, game of the week. But I don't know. It's going to be definitely a tough game to predict.
Lazio-Torino.
It's a good game too.
Yeah, between the 2 teams themselves, there's not anything special except it's the 2 main players of the Italian attack, Ciro Immobile versus Andrea Belotti. A game yeah. we a battle we always love seeing, even though these two players play pretty much on the complete opposite ends of the pitch. They don't cross paths at all during the game, unless it's probably for a corner kick or at the end of the game, the handshakes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Immobile, I'm sure this is a game he enjoys playing. I'm sure him and Belotti are really good friends. They played together. They played together at Torino.
At Torino, yeah.
And, it's just a game I think we're all going to be excited for.
Yeah, I mean, it's two, as you said, two leaders in the front of the pack there for Italy, and Immobile and Gallo Belotti. Immobile right now, capocannoniere, with 10 goals, as we mentioned earlier. Belotti has 5, but I don't know. It's, as we said, as we've mentioned many, many times, in Serie A, it's one thing with these players. With Italy, it's a different story. I personally think it's a good game. I believe, is it in Rome, the game, you said? Yes, yeah. It is. It's in Rome. I think that has a bit of a factor. Rome's no easy place to play. Torino on the road. Tie against, I think it was Cagliari that we mentioned before. So it's going to be tough. Again, I think Lazio can pull through, but don't shy away from this Torino team, because I think they definitely give Lazio a run for the money.
But then this weekend, City on match day 11, absolutely huge.
Another quick turnover.
Huge games.
Yeah.
Derby della Sole. Derby della... I was going to say Derby della Maronina. Derby della Mole. And Milan-Lazio.
Yeah.
Not to mention, more of a, I guess, smaller regional battle, Fiorentina-Parma. Toscana versus Emilia-Romagna. Mm. Verona-Brescia. Two neighboring regions, too. And I'm really excited for this weekend.
I think everybody should be. Fan of the league, casual fan of Serie A, or just of soccer in general. I think, all eyes should be on the TV good this weekend. Nick mentioned all the good games. I think, as I said, it's still early, 11 games in, but I think this weekend alone can do a lot of damage. And just this weekend, just this weekend alone, with the games that are being played, the positions of the teams where they are at, on form, not on form, I think there's a lot of damage could be done. We'll see, how these teams can rebound from, as we've said, a short week with this midweek match day. I think it'll be definitely exciting and definitely a must-watch for everybody.
So with Roma playing in the derby, so they're in Udine tomorrow. So we talk about their injuries. They don't have much squad depth. They've been calling up some of their Primavera players. They've been signing free agents. So how do you think Roma approaches this? I mean, we're going to talk to Frank Cavallaro in about 5 minutes' time about what Napoli's going to do for the game. But Roma, how do you think they approach it, managing their squad?
Well, listen, they got a result this weekend, as we said, against Milan. And I think that, they should take that and go into this midweek match day. Maybe a bit of change of lineup, but we know they don't have much of rotation, so it'll be tough. But they definitely have to go to Udine with a lot of confidence. In my opinion, they should be winning that game. But then hosting, because they host Napoli. I think that is an added bonus for Roma. They're at home in front of their home fans at the Olimpico. I think that, as I said, added value for them. They got to take advantage of, them being on a bit of a high and Napoli being on a bit of a low, as I said earlier. And I think if Fonseca could get his tactics right and, this team can actually, convert on their chances. And in the past, they don't do that too well, but, and stay, solid defensively. I think they can definitely get a result, but I think the confidence is the biggest thing with this team. And slowly, I think they've bought into Fonseca's system. But a tough team like Napoli, it'll really show if everybody's on board.
So we're gonna take a short break. Coming up on the other side of break, a guest we're all excited about.
Yes, sir.
Frank Cavallaro from Club Napoli, Canada, Montreal. Here on the Couch Guys on CGO 1690.
From November 14th to November 24th, one of North America's major documentary film festival will take place.
Montreal International Documentary Festival, RIDM.
More than 140 documentary films during a 10-day period.
Discussions with passionate filmmakers, innovative and interactive documentary projects.
Free musical performances every night, and more at the Cinémathèque Québécoise. This November will be where all stories meet.
And you?
Check out our website at ridm.ca.
Welcome to the kitchen, may I take your order, please?
I'll have two number nines, a number nine large, a number six with extra dip, a number seven, two number 45s.
Whoa, 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 this ain't that type of kitchen. This is what we got.
I keep a witch in my kitchen. I keep a stick, my hit me. Always had.
Tune in every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on CJLO 1690 AM with DJ NMK and Big Sailor Ron for the hottest mixes of rap and R&B in the city.
You gotta eat to keep your strength up, man.
You're listening to CJLO Shoobidoop. You're listening to CJLO Shoobidoop. You're listening to CJLO.
Oh, yeah! CJLO! We got the soul!
CJLO.
I can't feel it.
CJLO.
It's so smooth. We like sand, baby. Sand for your shit. CJLO.
Welcome back to the Culture Guys with Adriano DiNardo. I'm Nicholas DiGiovanni. So you know him as Montreal's favorite weatherman, Frank Cavallaro, but he also doubles as VP of Communications with Club Napoli Canada Montreal, and he's on the line with us today. Frank, how are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not too bad.
So, before we get into the nitty-gritty of Napoli and their season so far, maybe a bit of a disappointing season, we want to ask you, how did you get into, you know, following Napoli, your passion for Napoli, and get involved with this fan club here in Montreal?
Well, it goes back many, many years. When I was a kid with my two brothers, my dad was a big Napoli fan. And back in the 80s and 90s, we didn't have satellite TV, so we wouldn't watch a lot of games. We would listen to it on Italian radio in Montreal. And Sunday mornings, the games were on at about 8 o'clock. And I remember being in bed Sunday morning after going out Saturday night dancing and drinking. I'd hear the radio in the background, staticky, because it was on AM, it was CFMB. And I remember him listening to Tutti di Calcio Minuto per Minuto, and that's how I became a Napoli fan. We basically grew, we'd wake up and listen to the Napoli games and went to Naples a couple of times to watch Maradona play and Napoli play. I was there a couple of years ago. And that's how I became a big Napoli fan, my brothers included. Then we started this club about 7-8 years ago with 20 people. We're up to about 150 members right now. We get a big crowd every week. We go to a different location. We've done booklets. So we go to different bars and cafes that are in the booklets, and we usually meet every week. And we're usually about 20 to 40 members that come out and watch the game. When it's 6:30 in the morning, it's harder. People like to sleep in. But most of the time, we get a good turnout, and that's how I became a Napoli fan. I was pretty well told by my dad, this is a team you got to cheer for, and I'm glad I did, because I still believe Maradona is the greatest player to ever play the game.
Beautiful story, Frank. Now going over to you know, Napoli, the club itself, interesting start of the season for them, I would say. Right now, dropping down to fourth place, losing some points to some teams that I believe, and I think we both believe, should be picking up maximum points. What do you make of that, Ancelotti? What do you make of Ancelotti year two, and you know, their overall play so far early in the season?
I think they're having a rough time against the mediocre teams. They're playing better against high-level teams like Liverpool and Salzburg that they beat last week. I think it's a mental thing. Let's not forget they have many injuries. Their defense is crippled right now. They've got four defenders that are out, so they're using players that don't play backs playing defense. So I think Ancelotti will get the team together. I think after our next international break, which is in 2 weeks, I think then you're going to start seeing the real Napoli. Once the injured players come back, and he's trying different formations. He's tried Lozano as a striker, as a wing back. I think he's getting to know the players. It's 9 weeks into the season. I'm disappointed. I mean, even this weekend against Spal, they should have won. They had numerous opportunities. They didn't. They could have closed the gap with Inter, Atalanta, and Juventus. So it is a bit disappointing, but I'm confident that Ancelotti, one of the top coaches around, will get this team turned around. If not, if he doesn't do much in the Champions League, which right now looks like they should advance to the next round, or if they don't finish in the top four, in Italy. I think Ancelotti, this will probably be his last season in Napoli, and then he'll want to move on, because two seasons there, you have to win something. If it's not Coppa Italia or do well in Champions or Scudetto, I think he's going to move on. But it is disappointing, I agree with you. But it's still a long season. Juventus stumbled this weekend, so did Inter. So a lot of the big teams that play different competitions are tired, and if their bench is not up to par, they have a rough time winning every 3 days.
Absolutely.
That's a lovely nudge on here for Mertens. What a way to equal Diego Maradona's record. Dries Mertens with a scorching finish. Now Malqui, played in again by Alan, and trying to pick out a spot again, and Mertens goes past Diego Maradona now on a two-goal night in Salzburg.
So there you heard it. Last week in Salzburg, Mertens passes Maradona, who you say is the greatest footballer of all time. And you know, it's been, I think, 6 years now that Mertens is in Napoli. He's really embraced the Napolitan culture. Mm-hmm. How do you see him in the importance of the club's history?
Well, you know, he has been there 6 years. He scored quite a few goals, as you mentioned, and the Maradona record, well, it was bound to be broken. But I think he's embraced the city. He loves the city. I mean, people are having kids naming their kids after him. They call him Ciro.
Sure.
Ciro Mertens. So I think he's an important... He's not a striker. He plays striker. He plays false nine. He's putting the ball in the net. He had a great weekend again. He missed another opportunity to put Napoli in front, but I think he's well-deserved where he is right now in the top five of Napoli players of all time in terms of goals, in terms of loving the city. He loves playing there, and it's surprising because a lot of people don't want to play in Napoli for whatever reason, but he's embraced it, as has Callejon and Alan. A lot of people just like playing there. They've been there for years. This is part of the Benitez, Rafa Benitez team that he brought in when Benitez was coaching the team. But I really think he loves the city. He loves to play. He wants to play every day. But you got to get Insigne in there as well. Now you've got Lozano. Now you have Elmas. You've got Llorente. So it's tough for him to play every game. But I think Ancelotti's realized that Mertens, Ciro Mertens, does put the ball in the net.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Frank. I mean, personally, I love Mertens, and I think he loves Napoli, and I think Napoli loves him back. And just a connection with him, the city, you know, their espresso guy, Tommaso, I think there's just a true connection, and it's honestly beautiful to see. Moving on, away from Serie A, I think I'll go into Champions League a bit. Obviously, you know, as you said, they're doing well in Champions League, and they probably can get out of their group. Right now, I believe they are in first in their group ahead of Liverpool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the question to you, do you think, you know, they can really contend in Champions League? Can they go far? Do they finish first? What do you make of their championship run this year?
Listen, I think they have to advance to the next round. Last year, they were unfortunate again. They were in a tough group, even though last year Napoli was the only team to beat Liverpool in the Champions League. And then Liverpool went on to win the Champions League Cup. I think this year they'll advance. How far will they go, depending on who they meet in the next round? I think De Laurentiis will be happy as long as they advance to the next group and maybe into the quarterfinals, because it means a lot of revenue for the team, and then they can buy players and get some strength that they need. They're looking for a defender now because of all the injuries. Malquit is going to be gone for 5 or 6 months because of ligament damage to his knee.
Yeah.
No, I think they'll advance to the next round, but then again, you never know what these teams. I mean, Salzburg put on a great show. Liverpool is now turning it around. Napoli beat Liverpool, and Napoli, now they have to go play in Liverpool in a couple of weeks, so that could be the difference. But I think it'll be Liverpool first and Napoli second, or vice versa. But it doesn't matter as long as they advance to the next group, and then whoever they meet in the next group, you never know. Last year it was Tottenham going into the final when Ajax could have been there on a last second goal by Tottenham. So, you know, once you start advancing and it's head-to-head in the next group, anything could happen. And if they get their players back, their injured defenders that are coming back, and they go get somebody in January, which I think they will, they might surprise a few people. I think Ancelotti's got that Champions League experience where he knows what to do to win the big game.
And so back to the city, they host Atalanta tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
Tomorrow afternoon, and then the Derby della Sole Saturday. Obviously, two big games, two big teams. What are you hoping to see from Napoli this week?
Well, I think tomorrow's a big match for Napoli. I think Atalanta's playing some great soccer in Italy. Outside Italy, they're really not playing that well, as we can see in Champions. They don't have any points. They're a good team, but I think Napoli could beat them. They have the experience. Atalanta's missing Zapata up front. He's hurt. Napoli's missing a couple of defenders, as I mentioned. I think Napoli tomorrow could come out and beat them. And then against Roma this weekend, Roma's shown signs of playing great soccer, and then the week after they lose to a mediocre team. I think Napoli could probably win the next two games before going into the break, and then they play Genoa. So I think this will be a big test for Ancelotti in the next week or so. But I think tomorrow, Atalanta, Gasperini, they could probably beat Atalanta at home.
I totally agree with you, Frank. I mean, as you said, two good teams, and I think obviously Napoli's experience can definitely shine in these types of games. Before we let you go, Frank, obviously we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to us here on the Calcio Guys. Quickly back to the actual Napoli Club of Montreal. How do people are interested? How do you guys join? Where you guys on social media?
Yeah, we're on social media. My brother is the president. He'll take memberships. By the way, you don't have to be a Napoli fan to join the Napoli Club. If you just like soccer, we meet. We're a great group. We throw a party every year. It's a great. You just go to Club Napoli Canada on Facebook, or you can email my brother gcmontreal@gmail.com. G like Julio, C like Cavallaro, Montreal at gmail.com, and he'll give you all the information. We welcome cafes, bistros who want to take part as well. We're growing every year. Our booklet's a beautiful booklet. We've got over 40, 50 sponsors in the booklet. That's how we get the booklet made and paid for, by getting sponsors. And then what we do is, in turn, we go to if you own a cafe and you're in the booklet, we pick a game. When we go to your cafe or bistro to see the game, and we draw a big crowd, and that's how we're doing it. And today with DAZN and Rai and TLN, chances are Napoli will be shown every weekend or in Champions League. So again, if you want to become a member or more information about Club Napoli Canada Montreal, all you got to do is contact my brother at gcmontreal@gmail.com, or go to Facebook at the Club Napoli Canada, and you'll see pictures and where we go. We go on tour. We went to Detroit to see them. Barcelona, Napoli back in August was a great trip. We took a bus. We were like 40 people on the bus. We stayed there and had a great, great time. So if you want to be a member, Juventini are welcomed as well. Come out and join us. Everybody's welcome.
Beautiful. So,
I still say Juventus is the best team in the league. They have the best team out there. It should be interesting, though, to see what happens till the season ends in May.
Beautiful, Frank.
And so you said you went to Detroit to watch Napoli. I just wanted to ask you before we have to let you go. Do you get involved with other Napoli clubs around North America? Like, I know there's one in Toronto, there's another one in Philly. Like, well, how's that dynamic?
We communicate, but in Detroit, we were with the Club Napoli from Michigan. They were there. We took some pictures with them, but we communicate. We pretty well communicate with them on social media. But apart from that, we have our club here. We go to different locations. We throw a party once a year. We help out charities as well. Some of our members go to parties and help out charities. But no, it's been a fun trip. Since we started 8 years ago, my dad would be proud. He passed away many years ago. He would be proud that his three sons, after so many years, are now running Club Napoli Canada. After, you know, sleeping in bed on Sunday mornings, being forced to wake up to listen to Napoli, now we have a Club Napoli club in Montreal. So I think he would be proud.
Absolutely, Frank. Obviously, the beautiful game brings families together. So, like, once again, here from the Calcio Guys, we really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. And we'll definitely, tag you on when we post everything and get it out on social media.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. And Forza Napoli sempre.
Si, si, si. Ciao, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
Ciao, ciao.
And yeah, to wrap up today's show, definitely follow us on social media, as I said to Frank, at the Couch Guys on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook as well, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, all the clouds, as I said, YouTube as well. We're posting. We got beautiful clouds today here in Montreal, so definitely follow us for everything, Caucho.
Thanks for listening.
Ciao.